are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Friends, family, welcome back to Inside the Locker, the number one podcast on iTunes. You're listening to us on the OneOfUs.net radio network, and we're just cooking right along. Have some fun things to unpack tonight. First and foremost, just very briefly, Logan in the house tonight, our producer back, just got married. Logan, welcome.
Thank you.
Fresh from Hawaii, we're so happy for you, and yeah. You look good with that ring on your finger, brother. Yeah.
Thank you.
We got some. We're recording this on Super Tuesday. We're going to be talking a little politics, a little draft.
The most super of Tuesdays.
A little Marvel, a little Las Vegas, and we'll get to that later. Donald Trump has, according to New York Magazine, exceeded expectations in his northeastern sweep, winning all five states. Hillary won 4 of 5. It's gonna be Hillary and Trump, folks. I think the real question there is if you're on Reddit, if you like Bernie Sanders, if you're a principled person who likes to make Facebook status updates, are you gonna get over yourself and vote for Hillary, or are you not?
That's the real question.
That's the real question.
Are you gonna get over yourself and what you want? Because like, look, if Bernie Sanders, I voted for Hillary, but if Bernie Sanders won the primary, I'd vote for him in a heartbeat because I don't want America to die.
It's like, okay, well, shit. That tends to be my leaning as well, but
I feel like at this point it's more about preventing Trump from getting the office no matter what the option is.
You know, I don't think there's any way Trump can win. I really don't. I just want to say this again right now. I just do not see it. And I'll tell you why. It's because the Mexicans are too powerful, too record turnout, record registration. Now think about this, guys. I want to blow your mind real quick. Did you guys know that 75% of people who watch Univision only watch Univision? And that's the fourth or fifth biggest channel in America. And everyone watching Univision is getting all sorts of anti-Trump rhetoric. I mean, Trump is a punchline on Univision. You got one of the most trusted people in America, Jorge Ramos.
He insulted him.
Going on a freaking, you know, witch hunt against Donald Trump. And then you think, okay, well, how can any Republican win without winning Pennsylvania, without winning Ohio, without winning Florida, without winning some of the Midwestern battleground
states?
They have
to pick up New Mexico, Colorado,
New Mexico. He's not going to win Nevada because of all the Mexicans in Nevada. I'm telling you, this election's over. But make sure you do your part. And I don't think it's particularly.
Basically, what I heard you say is I don't have to vote.
Damn it, man! No.
Make sure you. I said as long as the Bernie Bros and as Americans do their part, do their due diligence, and take care of business. And
what?
Just vote for Hillary. Cool. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's not that fucking complicated. You go out there and vote for Hillary, or you're a bad person.
Well, I can't speak for all the brothers, but I can tell you this. A lot of my fellow people that I talk to, I think black people are going to be showing up at the polls. I don't think we're going to be sitting out either because he hasn't said anything about us yet specifically. But the message I get is, okay, we're going to get rid of the Hispanics. We're going to ban all the Muslims. And just by what he's not saying, it's like, man, you go take us back to the 1950s if you could.
Yeah, and this isn't even about Republicans or Democrats. This is about, come on, Donald Trump's crazy.
This is crazy.
This is a runaway freight train. Just take care of business. Don't let that train get to the station, and we'll be in good shape. All right, moving on. And by the way, tonight, one of those guys who tonight became just about mathematically eliminated from winning the nomination outright, and that's Ted Cruz.
Ugh.
He is campaigning in Indiana.
Now you have to talk like Ted Cruz.
And this is how we're pivoting. I can't do it, Ted. Can you do a Ted Cruz? I can't do a Ted Cruz.
All across the world, not many people can do a Ted Cruz.
It's hard because
he's starting to believe.
It's the hand. I mean, that wasn't quite there, but I mean, I see what you're going
for. It needs to be workshopped.
It's like it needs a folksier
we'll
accent.
We'll work on that for next episode.
You also have to answer a question without actually answering the question. Like that video of a gay man in New York at a town hall, asked him, like, what are you going to do for me and my husband? And he went and talked for like 3 minutes and didn't say shit what he was going to do for that guy and his husband.
Now, do I know how to answer a question? I do. But, you know, that's not the real thing we need to talk about.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, yeah, he'll be like, he just posits a lot of, like, hypothetical situations. He'll be like, all right, folks, let's say you're the Philadelphia Eagles, okay, and you just traded up with the Cleveland Browns, and you got the one, you got the two, you got Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, what you're getting, my friend here says you want to go Jared Goff, but, the you know, like, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, so tonight he's campaigning in Indiana, and he called a basketball hoop a basketball ring.
The fuck, man?
Which is not... Indiana, of course, home to the classic film Hoosiers and all of those basketball ring shots. So not the best night for Ted Cruz either. All right, before we get into the NFL draft, which is coming up this week, and, you know, in a lot of ways among the most exciting parts of the spring, because everybody gets to put on their football hat and just get really excited and just kind of like dream a little dream.
Of football being back.
I want to talk a little bit about Captain America Civil War. It's coming out. We're on the eve of it. It's coming out next week.
Ooh, we're in the Missouri Compromise phase of it.
Mm. Potentially the biggest, likely the biggest movie of the summer. I think it'll be good. But we do have some exclusive insider intel here. Now, before we move further, I want to be very clear. I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it one more time. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about... We don't want to give too much away, but a little bit about the early returns. JC, I understand you have...
I think we should also claim it's going to be minor spoiler alert. It's not going to be plot point spoiler alert.
Minor stuff.
It's really just one aspect that I asked about.
But yeah, so you got... Well, first question I want to ask, because yeah, so JC has some friends in L.A. that saw an early cut of the movie. And what's the word?
So the pretty immediate, overwhelming consensus from them was that it was great. They really loved it. Some people had a few minor issues, but I think that's kind of par for the course with Marvel movies. Specifically, some of the people that I tend to agree with most that really liked it is Drew McQueenie of HitFix. Mm. He and I tend to see eye to eye on pretty much every movie, and also Peter Serretta from Slash Film. Mm. He really liked it. And
I see eye to eye with him too.
Yeah. And so, but the one person I reached out to who seemed to be the most willing to speak about details, I DM'd him on Twitter, and I said, don't give me any specifics, I just have this one question, because I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man is my absolute favorite superhero. And Jermaine Lussier of IO9, formerly of Slash Film, he was the only one who specifically talked about how great Spider-Man was. Mm-hmm. And so I DM'd him, and I said, all I want to know is how long Spider-Man is in it. And he said it's a good 20 to 30 minutes.
Yes! That's so good!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said Tom Holland is fucking amazing.
Yes!
Nice. I heard something similar that he's in a good chunk of the movie, more than you would probably expect. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I was expecting like 2 minutes. Like they were gonna show him in that battle, and then they were gonna wave him out of the movie.
Yeah. And specifically, teased in a lot of the trailers is that what's very clearly an airport runway, mm-hmm. or right outside of an airport, and everybody says that battle is amazing.
Hmm. God, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that movie.
Yeah.
Well, see, I'm kicking myself because, like, the One of Us crew goes to review these, and we have a lot of critics on staff now.
Check your email, man.
But here's the thing. Just to be real, a lot of these critics don't show up to every movie.
Can I just go and watch the movie with you guys?
You know, if I can talk to High, he gets me an extra seat. But he's going to try to get me a seat. But, like, these critics don't show up to the finest hours like I did. Yeah, I missed an email, but it was my own fucking fault.
Where do you guys see? Can I just go? Can I just be like, hey, I'm just here to... I'm your plus one.
Man, I mean...
Or my big fat Greek wedding too, which only me and Sarah went to.
I would have gone, but I was.
How was that? How was that?
It's awful.
I saw the first one. I remember it fondly.
Shit, I went to The Boss.
All right. I think you guys have all seen... We can all agree you guys have all seen a lot of bad movies. All right. We're going to talk a little NFL draft here. It's, again, just, it's an exciting time. We're all big football fans. You know, people are measuring hands. People are, like, you know, filming montages in the weight room. It is a great time to be a football fan. All of these beautiful hypotheticals are right in front of us. what we're going to do, I mean, I think what's most interesting about this particular draft is the very top could go in so many different ways. The Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, who were picking number one overall, announced on Tuesday night that they will not call whomever they draft until Thursday night. So the Rams may know exactly who they're drafting, but the reality is that whether it's Jared Goff, whether it's Carson Wentz, the two quarterbacks, they don't know yet. Mm-hmm. We know kind of that the Cowboys have a lot of interesting options, a lot of interest. We know that basically there are the top 10 players in terms of talent, and there's a lot of journalist consensus. Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, all these mock draft guys will tell you, here are like the 10, 15 best guys in the draft, and it's pretty similar. But because everybody needs a quarterback, because Philadelphia made a big dramatic trade with Cleveland, it changes the complexity of the draft, and it's really hard to – I think it's just about impossible to make a mock draft because we already saw the first two picks traded for. You could very well see that for the third overall pick. And depending on what happens in the first three picks, Dallas could trade down. So we'll see. All right.
Regarding that Eagles pick, do you think that somewhere Chip Kelly was in San Francisco saying, now you fuckers trade for the second pick?
I mean,
I'm sure similar language was used.
I don't think Marcus Mariota would have saved Chip Kelly's job.
That's true.
So he'd be in San Francisco regardless. In any case, what we're going to do to sort of illustrate how up in the air it is, we're going to have our own Inside the Locker mock draft. Now, we're not going to go 32 picks deep. Because the reality is... I just think that would waste everybody's time, and you can just Google NFL mock draft and read all sorts of fun ones from people far better qualified than us. However, we're going to go the first four picks because this is the most – I mean, it's a top-heavy, really exciting draft, and what happens in the first four picks is going to change everything. So to set the table, Logan will be the Los Angeles Rams picking number one overall. Elliot.
As is written.
Elliot will be the Philadelphia Eagles picking number two overall. Now, again, presumably 1 and 2, Rams and Eagles both traded up with the Browns and Titans, respectively, to get those spots. So presumably those are quarterbacks. Now, JC will be number three overall, the San Diego Chargers, another team with a lot of question marks. I'll be playing the role of the Dallas Cowboys, a team that I'm a fan of and have been reading about obsessively.
As he wears a shirt.
As I'm wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt right now. So I suppose we should have some kind of music. Let's see if I can cue up some sweet draft music. You're going to have 20 seconds on the clock. 30 seconds. Yeah, you know, just be reasonable.
Didn't Lil Wayne have a song where he remixed the NBA theme from John Tesh back in the 90s?
He probably did. I feel like every shitty rapper has done that. Not the Lil Wayne. I think Lil Wayne's awesome, but no, that's not much of a surprise. All right, so here comes. So I'm going to play some music, some sweet tunes, and Logan, you're officially on the clock.
You know, I don't know why you're giving me 20 seconds. I don't need 20 seconds. I just need 2 seconds. The only 2 seconds I need, Jared Goff is the guy.
All right. Logan likes Jared Goff, the quarterback out of Cal. And why do you like Jared Goff?
Jared Goff, man, he's a solid quarterback. He's a smart dude. He's a good athlete. On top of that, Rams just moved to California. He's a California kid. Grew up, I think, in Berkeley, or at least in the Bay Area there. He grew up a fan of California teams. So, like, having kind of there's a big difference between the Bay Area and L.A., of course. But having a dude on the West Coast, like, leading your new team out on the field all the way, it's going to be the way you want to do it.
All right, so trading up to get the face of the to get a new face of the franchise.
Absolutely, it's a new beginning for everyone.
Interesting, very very interesting. Bold pick.
It's not bold at all.
I think that's probably what you're going to see on Thursday night.
It's the overwhelming Vegas favorite.
Yeah, it is. It is the overwhelming
-1500.
Jared Goff going to Los Angeles Rams. And we'll unpack that in just a little bit.
You heard it here first.
All right, Elliot, you are on the clock.
I'm going to go with a bit of a... I have two picks. I have the one I would make, and I have the one that they're going to make.
All right. And the pick is in.
Okay, so the pick I would make is Ezekiel Elliott. Because the pick that they're going to make, I just don't think is going to make an impact. And that is Carson Wentz. I see him as like a Trent Dilfer. I don't see him as a franchise quarterback. He's just going to ride the bench. He's not going to. He's going to do okay. He's going to be a guy who can run your offense. But aren't you looking for more than that in the number two pick?
Interesting. So you're taking Carson Wentz because that's presumably the pick.
Yeah,
but if it were you,
I would get it because you have a higher upside there. If you can, here's the thing: running backs may be devalued in the league these days, but a good one is invaluable. I think he's that type of back.
Interesting. All right, so we have Goff and Wentz going 1 and 2, and again, this is probably what you're going to see on Thursday night. Now, this is where it gets interesting and key. Now, JC, you're going to be the San Diego Chargers. Now, you have a number of really great players. You can take the best overall player in the draft. You can take some really huge, exciting playmakers. But here's the thing. Teams that are not in the market for a quarterback all of a sudden realize that, holy cow, I can trade up to number 3 and get the number 1 overall player in the draft. So, are you drafting or are you trading San Diego Chargers? And you're on the clock. You have 20 seconds.
From the research I've done, as far as like addressing their needs and players that have left, free agency is not offering up a lot, and their biggest free agency loss seems to be Eric Weddle at safety. And so if you're going to go with the best safety, who's already one of the best players in the draft, I would say Jalen Ramsey out of Florida State.
All right, so you're going to be taking Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, Florida State at number 3 overall.
Yeah. I know he's a little controversial. People seem to be worried about the fact that over his entire career at Florida State, he only had 3 interceptions. But, I mean, you know, he's a good athlete, and that could take you a long way in the NFL.
Yeah. I feel that. So now I'm the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm going to tell you right now that if I'm the Dallas Cowboys and Jalen Ramsey's gone, my decision is very, very easy. There was a point where the Dallas Cowboys thought they were in a position to trade down and get their guy. And I don't think you can be cute and do that anymore. Their guy is very clearly, they have 2 guys. They have Jalen Ramsey and they have Ezekiel Elliott. If Ramsey goes 3, which could happen, I don't see it happening. Even if he doesn't, I think the Dallas Cowboys now are going to have to take Ezekiel Elliott. Only 20 years old, high impact back. Peter King said he's a potential rushing champion. You know, think Jamal Charles with more muscle, more burst, more quickness, and he's only 20 years old, and you can use him for 8 years. More importantly, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm a team that's built to win in the next 1 or 2 years, you take the guy that can help you right out of the package, that can give you the boost,
exactly,
that can sell jerseys, that can excite the fan base.
And his name is Elliott.
And his name is Ezekiel Elliott. Best running back in the draft, according to the scouts, seeing top 30, number 4 player overall. You're drafted 4. I love it. There's going to be pressure to take Joey Bosa.
Well, the problem with that is that Elliott already took him.
Well, no,
I said
Wentz.
That they should take.
But again, Dallas is in a situation where I know what they want to do is trade down and get Elliott, but they can't do it. There are actually reports on Tuesday night that Miami is trying to trade with San Diego to move up and take Elliott at 3. So I think the time to fuck around and assume that you can get Elliott later is past. He's going to gash a lot of defensives. Just if he's there at 4, just take him. Now, if Elliott's gone and Jalen Ramsey's gone, that's when you get into maybe we can trade down and get somebody else. But I tend to believe Colin Cowherd went on this rant today about how useless and one-sided a lot of these picks are. The idea that you can trade the house and all sorts of assets for one star. That if you, in those situations, you always want to have the star. And I kind of agree. You know. You think about every single trade, all the assets, the Kevin Garnett to the Celtics, the Ray Allen to the Celtics, all those assets and picks and guys that were sent over there, didn't matter. Celtics got 2 guys that won a title.
Yeah.
And that's just applicable in just about every one of these trades. And he pointed out, well, sure, you know, there was the big Herschel Walker trade where you traded 1 superstar Herschel Walker for a bunch of picks. And that did help make the Cowboys of the 90s, except that they already had Troy Aikman. And what you need in this league is a franchise quarterback. Cowboys got one, Chargers got one, and now I think the Eagles and the Rams are going to get one. Now
it's like even last year, I was curious why the Bears traded Brandon Marshall for a 5th-round pick, and I know Brandon Marshall wouldn't have helped the Bears do any better than they did last year, but like I can't even tell you who that 5th-round pick was.
Yeah.
and Brandon Marshall kicked ass for the Jets last year.
Well, what I wonder is something I never thought about before, but do you think there's any like horse trading amongst the owners in of stuff that doesn't even involve picks? Like, is Jerry Jones, Will's a pretty big stick, And so if he's, it, maybe you were trying to get something done on a macro level, and you say, look, I'm going to give you this, but I want this in a different area. You think any of that goes on? Or is it just the GMs that are
involved? I think there's too much chaos. I think there's too much chaos, yeah.
Yeah.
I think those things are hard to measure. So yeah.
Listen, I mean, NFL trades are such a complicated beast in and of themselves. Like, I mean, for the most part, I don't understand them. I said that last year when Brandon Marshall was traded. There was talk this year that the Bears could trade Alshon for, like, more assets and picks. I'm like, what for? It's a lot easier to understand in the NBA when and even then, the NBA is beginning to get a little bit more complicated in that assets and protected first rounds are becoming more and more valuable. And, like, look at Boston, who in the NBA is a good team, has Brooklyn's first pick from a trade, like, 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally feel you. And yeah, I mean, as far as the Joey Bosa thing for the Dallas Cowboys, again, the Cowboys are going to start the season without Randy Gregory, who was a top 15 player in last year's draft that slipped to the second round because of his weed problem. And I say problem because he can't stop smoking and getting suspended. He's one puff away from a 10-game suspension. So they're going to have no Randy Gregory for 4 games. They're going to have no DeMarcus Lawrence for 4 games, who's also going to be serving a suspension. And so people are saying, hey, Joey Bosa. And
it's more like puff puff sit.
I love Joey Bosa. If he's a Dallas Cowboy, I'm happy. But I think Ezekiel Elliott is a special back that you're going to regret not getting. So that takes care of the opening drama from the draft. But there's a lot of really exciting players. I'm going to run a few of them by you guys, and you just tell me whether you like them or whether you don't. So a couple of players that we're just not really sure of. We're going to start with this guy. He's a huge name. Looks like a big player, but he is an Alabama running back. Eddie Lacy, Trent Richardson, guys that don't have the best record recently. How do you guys feel about Derrick Henry coming out of Alabama?
Like, he's a beast. Like, he made Mark Ingram look like a Muppet. So I mean, if you need a bruising back, and you already have a good running back, I think he'd be a steal. But just Alabama running backs, I wouldn't put too much stock in them because they're running behind such a great line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Nick Saban runs those guys so ragged. Like, they're, yeah. I mean, there was at one point a 2-game stretch where Derrick Henry had over 90 carries. Like, that's insane.
I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, the upside is he could be Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
In terms of the way NFL.com compared him to Eddie George, he's an upright guy. So he's big, tall, giant shoulder pads, runs upright.
I mean, he's clearly durable if he was able to handle that kind of a workload over 2 games. I mean, but he's young.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely fast enough.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't know. I'm kind of uncomfortable with it. I mean, I think if you want a running back, Ezekiel Elliott is the NFL-ready running back. And if you can't get Ezekiel Elliott, then just wait to get one of the cheap guys in the third or fourth round. Because Derrick Henry is going to go late first, early second. I see a big fast back that could be special. But
and Ezekiel Elliott has a couple of those clutch moments where he came through in times where, you know, national championships or big bowl games. Like, he came through when he was needed to.
But I don't know. I think Derrick Henry's a little bit. I've seen the Alabama backs, and I know that's a dumb thing to generalize, but I'm just not interested.
No, it's not dumb. I mean, it's coming from the same system.
It's a decent enough sample size where it's like people have right to question.
All right, here's another one. He started off as a quarterback, won a national championship, moved to running back, and now he's going to be a receiver. And that's Ohio State's Braxton Miller. You know, as NFL.com writes, hey, he's an athlete. He's the man. Boy, I don't know, though. 23 catches in 13 games doesn't inspire confidence. Do you take a flyer on this guy's talent?
Yes. If you can catch him, like, say, late second, early third, get him.
I absolutely agree. I mean, like, he has just enough sheer talent, and he's a smart enough guy. You know, he'll be able to – he's a quarterback, so he's got to at least study the game. He has a knowledge of the inner workings of all that. You got to kind of – it's worth a gamble, especially in the third round or something.
Yeah,
like that.
With that kind of position switching, I mean, at best, he's better than a poor man's Ted Ginn.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's got to be worth something.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question, actually, that reminded me. Is Jadeveon Clowney going to play this year? Like, is he going to play?
Yeah, he'll play. But I mean, I think Clowney being this giant monster, he's got knee problems, and that's going to plague him for a while. But I'm sure he's going to have some really exciting.
Statistically, he wasn't an impact, but I mean, he did a lot of those things that you don't see in the stat sheet that made him fairly effective. He helped free up J.J. Watt.
Yeah,
and they're both good for each other.
All right, let me ask you. There's two more, and these are two guys that were sure things before draft season. The first one, Ole Miss defensive tackle Robert Mdiche. He was a two-time All-American. He was suspended from the Sugar Bowl, though. Weird behavioral stuff going on. Wild, intense athleticism. Is this guy worth a flyer?
No.
Here's the thing. And this is the interesting thing in the last couple of years with how the NFL is responding to, like, the Ray Rice thing and Greg Hardy and Johnny Manziel. And, I think there's less and less tolerance for the guys who show you multiple times that they have issues staying out of trouble.
Yeah.
And with me, I think people always get one pass. Like, I think I don't even remember what Johnny Manziel's first thing was, but I said it on the show. Okay. I was like, I think with me, you get one pass, but after it's you repeated behavior, like, you get no more passes. This might be Robert Kimdiche's first major thing, I think. So I think people might take a flyer on him, but I think teams are so cautious now with, you know, the Manziels, the Hardys, the Ray Rices.
So yeah, for those who don't know, in Atlanta, in mid-December, he fell off of a hotel balcony. The 6'3", 294-pound defensive tackle fell off a hotel balcony. And then police found marijuana in his room. So that's.
But it was like a synthetic marijuana that.
The stuff that will kill you.
Yeah, it's.
He was tripping balls and it was stupid. But I think. Yeah. I think the. And again, this is when we get into. Yeah, like you said, right. This isn't a Johnny Manziel, you know, being a shitty human being. This is a a situation where you lump him in with the Josh Gordons, with the Randy Gregories, who are basically just like good, chill dudes that are kind of boneheads. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's really damaging your football team because the NFL does not play around with marijuana. And you can't be taking a guy in the first round who's going to be suspended for four games, who's going to be suspended for a whole season potentially. And that's when you think, is he worth the headache?
Well, I think it just comes down to a face-to-face with him and just getting a sense of, does he understand the opportunity he has? Because I don't care how talented he is at this point, when as plentiful as players are, I mean, it's a fucking draft. Every year there's going to be a replacement. There's free agency. There are people who are dying to get in the league. There was a guy, the player who made the seminal play in not this year's Super Bowl but last year's, was working at a fucking Popeyes in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and he was trying to get into the league. There's always players. So I'm not going to put up with a player if I'm a GM unless you are just the Steph Curry of your position. Then I will put up with you if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, go fuck it. Go work for somebody else. You ain't working for me. Because you're going to mess my system up.
Yeah, I think the thing about Kimdiche, I'm just with you. I can't take that chance.
Yeah.
If he's one of those players that everybody was out on and you could get him in the third round, I'm 100% taking that chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that JC brought up a good point. Just because of the what's been going on lately, it's the context of everything else that's been going on in the league and all these other troubled players who should have been superstars, conceivably, just screwing up over and over again. It's not worth the headache. Like,
and it's also mostly because, like, fans are more aware of these guys' histories and things like that.
Absolutely.
Well, and I that's the thing. I mean, I think, and as somebody who, he is my favorite player of any sport of all time, but Michael Jordan is damn lucky he did not play in the social media era.
Yeah.
Because he'd be eaten alive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, last one, and I like what you said, JC. This is eventually, though, if you're a team, you got to look your fans in the eye and say, hey, we made this decision, ride with us. And this is the ultimate situation because you're talking about a top 10 pick in terms of talent who will go in the third round. Some people are saying fourth or fifth. But basically, what if I told you you could get a top 10 pick in the third, top 10 pick talent in the third round, defensive line monster, the ultimate boomer bust player in the entire draft.
Then Jerry Jones will say, where do I sign?
And I'm talking about, but here's the thing about defensive end Sean Oakman out of Baylor is that in 2013 he is accused of assaulting his former girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he's kind of one that where I talk about like players get one pass. This has been his first incident in like I guess getting caught is like for lack of a better way of saying it. But people have looked into his history and there's multiple instances of. You know, Baylor having gone through what they went through this past year, Baylor having covered up his discretions. Mm. And so, yeah, I think Sean Oakman is a great talent. He's huge. He's that guy.
No, I know. Okay. He's that huge guy.
Yeah.
He's the Hulk.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
so and again, I'm sorry.
What is he? So,
to be clear, so he was arrested this month on a sexual assault charge. And then apparently did it again in 2013, which is the big news
that's
coming
two.
Up again.
Yeah.
So, sorry guys, two strikes you're out, right? There's just kind of no turning back from that. You can't draft him.
And here's the thing I wonder. It's like...
But what if you draft him? What if it's like the sixth round no one's taking Sean Oakley?
That's what I'm saying. Like transgressions aside, what's he projected? Like how? Because yeah. as big as
third
he is, I heard
fifth.
He's not as... Okay.
Third to fifth.
Yeah, as big and as he is, I heard he's not as good as his size makes you think he would be.
But well... No, there are legitimate concerns. According to NFL.com, he has a lack of lower body strength and inconsistent motor chasing. But if he had a clean slate off the field, he'd be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I can't remember. My football coach had a way of describing these guys like...
Junkyard dog.
No, like the...
Gym rats.
The first guy that you want to get off the bus to like let the opponent see, but then he like never plays a lick in the game.
Yeah,
I remember he's your Achilles, like in Troy.
I remember we did we played a flag football tournament when I was a freshman in college. My friend Xavier was our quarterback, and he was a really good like pocket passer, but he could not run. And so like before the game, we were like, all right, X. First few plays, man, just make sure to dance around the pocket so they think you can take off. And it worked perfectly. Like nobody wanted to rush him because they're like, oh shit, if I rush him, he's gonna like burn me, you know. I see what you're saying. So Oakman's one of those guys that you want to just yeah.
Well, and see, my standpoint would be, you know, if I'm a football owner or GM, not so much GM, but as more of an owner, I have a team to make money, and I need to protect my brand. Mm-hmm. And if the social compass is changing more and more to where you make one decision and that player's actions is put on you,
yeah,
I'm not going to draft you. This is like, I need to protect my brand, especially with everything NFL's trying to do these days. Like, I say, look, I'd rather lose than mess up my brand.
I mean, you know, I just don't think you can – I think you have to take him off your board. Yeah. And that's the thing is I think 20 teams in the NFL have taken him off the board. So I think you can wait until the fifth round to take him. But, man, it just sucks. It just sucks. I mean,
he did it to himself.
He did it. I don't mean it sucks for him. I mean, it sucks. Like, it's just one of those situations where you know that's going to be a conversation that a lot of people have to have. And, yeah. And it's just a shitty balance. So I think, you know, the way – if I were Jerry Jones, I would say, you know what? We went through this with Greg Hardy last year. I'm not putting my team again through that shit. Mm-hmm. He's off my board. I don't care if it's the seventh round and he's there. I just can't – you can't have him on the team.
Do you also think that Jerry Jones would really still – like?
No, Jerry Jones, he could very well be a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is not making a lot of
he's a Philly kid, but he's a Baylor player, Baylor cover-up. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Dallas drops a third round or a second round him because he's just like such a high upside player and they got defensive line issues. I could totally see Jerry Jones just being like, just spinning it, and it sucks.
I would absolutely believe that he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Oakman, in a lot of ways, you know, I think it's worse than Greg Hardy in terms of the record that he brings to the team because this is a multiple occasion kind of a thing. This isn't a, you know, getting coked out of your mind and doing something horrible. This is a, like, repeat offender thing. All right. So there we go. Some fool's gold players that we kind of did or didn't like. That's our NFL draft preview. We got some other stuff that we want to drop on you. Now, JC, you just went to Vegas. I wanted to talk a little bit about what it's like to go to Vegas. You know, this isn't like a travel.com kind of a situation.
Hey, it's Anthony Bourdain.
You know, I think we're all getting to that point where we're like, we're going to Vegas as like lame old dudes.
Yeah. That's about right.
And, you know, when you're in your 20s and you go to Vegas, you know, you're like, hey, you know, we're going to be cool and hip. We're going to drink a lot. And it's going to be fun.
You're a mark.
The shitty thing is that you don't have any money. But now it's like we have money, but we're all kind of like, if the four of us...
Speak for yourself.
If the four of us went to Vegas, all four of us are in our 30s.
Yeah.
If the four of us went to Vegas, we'd be the No Pussy Crew. And we'd just be like...
Well, I hope so for myself.
Actually, sorry, no, because JC is a single man.
I'm going
to Vegas with like a bachelor party, and it's like me who's married, my friend who's getting married, my other friend who's married with two kids, my other friend who's married with two kids, my other friend who's married with one kid.
Hey, I will say this. I've been to a bunch of bachelor parties, and not to put anything on anybody because we got two married dudes here. The married dudes, and what I have seen, are the most into the strippers. That's all I got to say. Because, like, I went to a bachelor party 4 years ago, and I'm sitting in perfect 10, and I'm just having a nice discussion. Corey Coleman was there. We were just sitting there talking, and we're like, uh-huh. And, like, all these married dudes are just... in it.
I'm
just
finding it hard to believe that Corey Coleman is not going to be all up on
Corey
strip.
Wasn't. He was just sort of sitting there, just like watching.
Putting him on blast. But that's not the point. We're not talking about strip clubs. Because Vegas is about, you go to Vegas and it's like, man, you know, like, you hit the casino and you kind of dress up. Like you kind of dress up nice. You kind of feel good. You're kind of like, yeah, we're going to be. Like, I went to Vegas just 5 years ago with the same people. And half of the people were single and nobody had any goddamn kids. And now everyone's, like, in five short years, everyone's got kids. And you know, we're all married. And it's like, what the hell are we going to do? We're just going to, like, walk around and, like... I mean, that's...
Well, like, I mean, so, like, I mean, I go to Vegas to gamble. I don't really go to shows. I don't really play slots. I'll sit at a table and play dealer games. I'll play some poker. I won't play a lot. I don't play enough poker to, like, feel 100% confident at a no-limit table with people who play, like, all the time.
Yeah.
I'll play some of the pussy $3-6 limit Texas Hold'em games.
I thought that sentence was going a bunch of different ways.
No, but the nice thing about those $3-6 limit games is it's the best way to get the free drinks from the cocktail waitresses because they'll come back to the poker tables quicker than they will to the slots area. That's a trick I picked up on. So you can sit at a poker table, fold every hand, only bet your blinds, and have four or five drinks in an hour. But no, I think Vegas with your friends is still able to be tons of fun.
Yeah.
Walking down the strip, people watching is always great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could take in a show. There are tons of great shows. A lot of great comedians out there. Fremont Street is... amazing fun, no matter what you do. And they're always really on top of everything. So, like, this past weekend, I went... Right as I was boarding the plane is when I heard that Prince died.
Oh,
and
damn.
By the time I got to Vegas, one of the first places I went to was Fremont Street. And Fremont Street already had... That's the part of Vegas where the street is covered up and there's, like, that roof with all the lights.
Yeah.
So this is the first night since Prince died, and they already had a tribute playing a bunch of his music and some of his videos up on there, like,
listen, yeah. You make a good point, because it's like, I feel like asking whether we could do Vegas, it's sort of the same, only more exaggerated, of asking if we could still go down to Dirty Sixth Street in Austin. We could go down there, but we would do it right. We would be sitting there having a good time and just laughing at the dumbass, like, young people who are, like, 22 and saying, we're going to run this town, and, like, uh-huh. Let's see how much money you lose this week.
And I mean, the people who are so opposed to the idea of Vegas, if the idea of it, of just gambling, isn't your thing, I get that. But, like, there are plenty of things to do in Vegas. Like I said, shows, comedians, food, people watching is great. It's good exercise, just in general. Walking around, like, walking from one casino to another, you'll walk a mile, 2 miles. 5 miles in a day pretty easily.
My Fitbit's going to be blowing up.
Yeah, and I tell you, like, I remember when I went to Vegas, I just met a whole bunch of cool people.
Yeah.
Like, I just had, like, conversations and just was like, oh, you're, like, I met people from Japan, from Australia, and just, like, sat down and had a beer with them. Like, so if you just want to, like, have human interaction, Vegas is awesome because, like, everybody goes to Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to go back. The last time I was there, it was right before my 21st, or it was right after my 21st birthday.
Yeah. And if you love sports, I mean, you can just go to a sports book and watch. I mean, I took a picture of it. I'm looking at it right now. I was watching four baseball games. Six baseball games, two hockey games, and two NBA playoff games at the same time.
That sounds pretty great, actually.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Yeah.
I just feel weird about going to, like, Las Vegas with, like, and it's not even about hooking up. It's about, like, you want to hit the floor with, like, your crew, and your crew is looking fresh, and you feel good. And we're not going to be looking fresh.
The key, I think, is to just, like, have high energy amongst your friends. Like, if you guys just have high energy amongst each other, dealers will be into it. Dealers are super friendly. They like people who are energetic. Mm-hmm. Play some craps. Get super into it. Hoot and holler. Like, nobody knows. Who cares?
That's great.
Yeah, like, and go to, like, I know y'all are married, but, man, go to a dance club. Those, like, I don't think it's open anymore, but I went to the Playboy Club, like, which is just a regular club, and I danced at Playboy Club, the Ghost Club, Ghost Bar, Rain. Like, it was a good fucking time. And it's just so surreal being in those clubs because they're like nothing you have in most other cities.
All right. There we go. That was our that segment brought to you by Las Vegas. What happened? we're going to talk two quick things here. Number one, I don't even want to talk about this. All right, so the NBA playoffs are happening, and Chris Bosser and Blake Griffin's hurt. So the Austin Clippers are going to have to wait a year to cut down the nets. It's really sad. We're all bummed out. Who's going to win it now that Steph Curry's hurt?
Well, so here's the interesting thing about Steph Curry being hurt is yesterday afternoon it mattered. Last night it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So yesterday afternoon Steph Curry is going to be out for 2 weeks. They play the winner of the Los Angeles Clippers Portland Trailblazers series. Well, last night during the Blazers Clippers game, the Clippers lose both Blake Griffin and Chris Paul for the rest of the playoffs. And so the Warriors now, in theory, in all likelihood, are going to play the Blazers in the second round. And even without Steph Curry is going to miss probably the first three, possibly four games in the next round. But I don't think the Blazers, unless the Blazers, here's what needs to happen for the Warriors to lose to, in general. The Warriors would either need to lose to the Rockets, which they're not going to, because the Rockets are fucking terrible.
Bunch of punks on that team.
I agree with what you're saying. Is that Clippers, Warriors, with their history, with Chris Paul, with Blake Griffin, with no Steph Curry, you could have been looking at, you know, a 3-2, 2-1 kind of a situation for the Clippers.
Yeah,
probably 2-1, and then Curry comes back. And that would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
Instead, you're going to be looking at Warriors smoking and outlasting the Blazers and then playing the Spurs in all likelihood.
See, I think the Thunder are going to beat the Spurs.
Well, the Thunder have always played San Antonio tough in the playoffs and have been a tough night matchup for them. But this particular Thunder team, outside of Durant and Westbrook, is really terrible.
I just think they're both hidden right now and they're so pissed.
And Ibaka. I'd be amazed if the Thunder can win more than a game.
I think the Thunder beat the Warriors. I think they get to the championship. Honestly.
All right.
I know it's crazy, but that's my view.
Yeah.
I mean, no. No. I think the question is, this is the real question. Is Pop gonna, you know, there was that great Fresh Prince episode where someone gets in Will Smith's face and he goes, "Stop, ghetto time," and then he like starts to fight. is Pop gonna go stop ghetto time on the Warriors? Is he gonna go back to 2005, Robert Horry tickling your balls,
man, that
Bruce Bowen licking your butt? Is he gonna go back to that, like, throwing Steve Nash into the fucking court?
That was so good.
Because if he does, then I think that's how you can.
That's how you beat the Warriors.
I think that's how you beat the Warriors. Is you just it's like that scene in Fight Club where Edward Norton is like, "I just wanted to hurt something beautiful," or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's like,
I have a feeling it'll be San Antonio and Cleveland, and San Antonio will probably take it.
Well, I tell you, like, I just think.
So you like the Spurs to win it all right now?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
I think it's going to be Cleveland winning it all, but I think it's going to be Thunder Cleveland. But man, I tell you, the way you beat the Warriors, their game is so beautiful. So much passing. You got to beat them like the fucking Detroit Pistons of like 89, 90, 91.
Right.
You got to play fucking dirty. You got to just throw elbows. Say, look, six of y'all on the bench. You're gonna fucking foul out tonight.
You got to whisper in their ear. You got to tickle. you gotta.
They're so delicate. Like, if you even mess with them.
I hate the Warriors so much.
Me too.
I hate watching them play. I hate it. It's a ho-ass league.
And Steve Kerr is the fucking coach of the year.
I hate it so much. But that's neither here nor there. I like the Warriors to win the West, which somehow does feel like a hot take all of a sudden. You like the Thunder. You like the Spurs. I like the Warriors. That's weird.
Yeah.
Logan, what about you, man? Where are you at?
I'm going Mavs.
Mavs? The Mavs are already out.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban's an idiot.
You know, because the Mavs won a title in the recent past, it always feels like, oh, man, Dirk Nowitzki, look out. And then they actually play, and they get smoked in five.
So he's coming back next year. Mavs are going to be even older.
They're going to be even older.
Yeah. Right. Man, they should have taken a lottery pick this year.
I'll tell you what, though. You got Kevin Love playing the five. All of a sudden, shooting threes, looking good. Here's my hot take. I like Cleveland to win it all. No, I don't. I like the Warriors. No, I like Cleveland. Cleveland Warriors with a Cleveland win.
Cleveland matches up. I mean, assuming Kyrie and K-Love will still be there, they match up better this year than they obviously did last year. But,
Jesus. Yeah. So,
Kyrie's been hitting, too.
The three of us just picked our finals picks. You like – Elliot likes the Thunder. JC likes the Spurs. Not like the city of Cleveland, and no one is picking the historic. We sound like idiots. All right, well, Golden State's probably going to win it all. All right, last question before we go here. Thank you for riding with us. Last question. We'd be remiss if we didn't say something. Prince, probably the Chuck Klosterman this week called him the greatest musician in rock history. I don't see how you disagree with that in terms of just like you can say that other people made better music. You can say that other people were more influential, but you just want to talk about pound for pound musician. Dude was crazy. Mm-hmm. So nothing that you're going to hear from us that you haven't already heard. But I'm going to ask you two questions. What was the first Prince memory that you have? And what's your favorite Prince song? We'll start with Logan.
First Prince memory. I mean, geez, actually, I always knew who Prince was and like listened to his music whenever I was a kid. But the first time that it like really struck me was the song Kiss. Hearing it come out on the radio, I was like, this is a weird-ass song, man.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked it, but it was still fucking weird. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. So that was definitely it. The thing that maybe stuck with me the most was the MTV Music Awards where he performed Get Off.
Get Off, yeah.
Man, that... I remember feeling very weird about myself. It was like 13-year-old Logan being like, I don't know what's going on. it was definitely a memorable moment. Man, God bless him. He's
so
amazing.
Get Off is Logan's favorite Prince song.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Elliot.
I
you wore a purple shirt tonight. Is that in honor of Prince?
It's just LSU and Prince. I just always wear purple.
I love that. That's beautiful.
I have a few different, like, my first memory of Prince, like, affecting my life was when I was, like, 5 or 6, and my dad was a big Prince fan, so he would just listen to it with Lionel Richie. We'd go Prince, Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Teddy Pendergrass, just on down the line. So it's actually something I get frustrated at. A bunch of my friends go, oh, you didn't, like, I didn't know who, like, I didn't know who Aha was and like the Bangles, and I'm like, I'm black. I didn't grow up with this my entire life, and I'm not a music guy. And so like I'm still catching up on a lot of that music. But I tell you, my favorite Prince memory is two of them. The Super Bowl performance in 2007 was fucking amazing.
He just like played that Foo Fighters song for no reason.
Yeah,
it was fucking
yeah.
awesome. Yeah,
and then also the one of the ones that just happened recently. Is just I saw the video for Could You Be the Most Beautiful Woman in the World for the first time.
Ooh.
Somehow I had missed it, and it's such a touching video. And like I just love that video. So my favorite song for Prince is Raspberry Beret.
I love that song.
Easily.
I tried to sing it Friday night at karaoke, and someone already put it in, and so then I froze and was like, I'll come back later, and then I never went back.
Yeah.
JC, where you at?
I have a hard time like keeping stock of what my first memories of things are. I kind of remember what my first Draft House movie was, but whenever someone asks me what my favorite like individual song is, and they don't ask me that often because I'm not a music head, but I'd say I used to say one of two songs. I used to always say Al Green, "Let's Stay Together," or I would say "Purple Rain."
And oh yeah,
it's like,
"Purple Rain."
And I mean, for the as long as I can remember. Any time in my life, like I'm like getting ready to like go out, or if like if in my head I consciously think I have 7 to 10 minutes to kill, I'm gonna put on purple.
That's
rain.
So fucking cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like,
man.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. Yeah, I have exactly 7 minutes to sit here and do nothing. I should listen to Purple Rain.
That's the coolest thing I've heard all fucking year.
Yeah, I love Purple Rain so much.
I'm pretty sure that means that JC is the most Prince of all of us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I heard right as I was boarding the plane, and I don't have all of my music on my phone, but I have I Could Die for You and I have Purple Rain. I listened to both of those songs for like 30 minutes as I sat on the plane. Those are the only two Prince songs I had, and just listened to them back and forth for 30 minutes.
You know, that's the thing about Prince is like, you know, yeah, first memory, the same innocuous shit where I wasn't really old enough to really consume it, but I was around it all. And
you just knew it sounded good.
Because I can think of the 89 Batman watching it and hearing Prince and saying in my head, oh, that's Prince.
Yeah.
So obviously before then I had heard of him.
Yeah.
I just can't think of like...
Well, it's kind of the same thing with me. It's like I was very aware of who he was, and I was aware that he was this iconic figure, but like I was not super into music whenever I was that young. And
well, I was just going to say, it's hard because like you all the big Prince singles, you hear them on the radio so many times, and when it's on the radio, it just sounds kind of distorted and muffled, so it sounds kind of shitty. So I have like all these memories of like hearing Let's Go Crazy through like a shitty radio, and I'm just like, fuck. Like, I don't want to listen to this right now. But favorite Prince song, favorite Prince album is Dirty Mind 1980, because that was when... you know, he's one of those cool artists. So for the rest of college history, when you get to college, he's one of those artists that people are going to be like, oh, this guy's cool. So Dirty Mind is where you start. You start with Dirty Mind, third album, perfect 30 minutes, smooth, silky, fantastic. He plays everything on it. Crazy ass solos everywhere. Shit, man, I don't know. I love Bambi. I love Uptown. I love Purple Rain.
Love Little Nicky.
Well, here's the thing.
Darling Nicky, Nicky,
you, guys, as the music guy, can talk about... Because, like, one of my favorite songs that I think he wrote was Vanity's Nasty Girl. And Shinya O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You. You can talk about how much he wrote for other people and just how prolific he was in there.
He gave one song to the Bengals, too. He gave a song to the Bengals because he liked the chick, and he just gave her...
Monday, was it?
Manic Monday.
Manic, yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's just nothing that you haven't already heard. He's just that good, that fun, that cool, great music.
It's just us wanting to celebrate him again.
The fact that he was okay with what Chappelle did, that's pretty cool to be like, okay,
Did you hear Chappelle called it? He called Prince dying the Black 9/11.
He's not wrong. Well, like, the way I look at it is like, we got a president. Something bad had to happen.
Yeah, it was awful, man. It was awful.
Obama's still alive, so something bad had to happen.
Man, I Would Die For You so good. I love Little Red Corvette. I love how fucking romantic. It always, that song, when you listen to that song, it sounds like there's like mist in the morning. Yeah. You're just like...
You can like feel the strobe lights. You're like, yeah.
There's just like mist. There's just like, Trojans, of them used.
I can guarantee you. Every brother has a playlist for sex, and I can guarantee you he's on at least three... There's at least three songs that a Prince on there. It's like... A few Purple Rain's on there.
Yeah.
Like, Little Red Corvette's on there.
I think an underrated karaoke one is I Would Die For You, because that one's only like 2 minutes and 58
seconds. Yeah, super
short,
quick, really
and just
fun.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not your lover. And everyone just gets excited and pumped, and like everyone kind of forgets that they know it, but they know it. They know that.
Keep going.
And then Kiss is like, so good.
Such a weird song.
Weird song. So good. All right.
How did that top the charts?
Because it's awesome.
It's Prince. I know, and it's amazing.
But it's like, it's weird, and it's just like, he's wearing a tank top in the video. Like,
I think the best thing is like, not the best thing, but one thing I like about it is like, if you look at Michael Jackson and Prince, they really were doing different things. And so you can sort of like both without having to rank them.
Sure.
And
they're difficult to compare.
Yeah.
So Wesley Morris said this. He said they were contemporaries, but they weren't really like colleagues. Like they just both kind of existed in the 80s, but they had different lanes and they were different. They're different.
And they stayed in that lane. And I don't feel like either like was trying to attack the other. Mm-hmm. It was like, no, you do your thing. I'm going to enjoy that.
Because there's been so many like videos. The one video that I really like is the one where it's like James Brown. It's a James Brown concert. And
I saw that.
Brings out Michael Jackson, and then he's like, "Prince, get up here, Prince!" And Prince just comes up, and he just holds a guitar, and he just has his eyes closed, and he plays like one note. And then he goes to the microphone. He's like, "Ah!" And then he just gets on the stage. It was great. All right. And on that note, inside the locker, we're gonna play you out with some Prince. No, that we don't have Prince. Okay, we don't. Okay, we don't have. We're not gonna do it. We're not gonna play you out with Prince. But just
I'm pretty sure we get sued for that. You can't even find Prince on YouTube.
Hey, that man died without a will.
So hang on. I got a title. I swear to God, I got a title subscription just so that I could have some Prince. So I'm going to play some Prince. I'm going to play.
As long as we talk over it.
I'm going to play the Bat Dance real quick here. And we're gonna close it out. All right. So.
Thank you, everyone.
Damn it, Jack.
Thank you, everyone.